All right. So we have a robust agenda today. First with the stories. There is a story that was from Ben-Sion Brook that I saw. He's the Rosh Yeshiva in Vardik. That one time he was walking in the street in Vilna, and Rav Chaim Oizer was there, and they were talking and learning. And all of a sudden, someone comes to him and says, "Kvod Rav, how do I get to, you know, wherever this person lives?" It was a strange request, but he went ahead and did it. And he gave extraordinarily detailed directions. You know, turn right here, turn left here, go up the steps. It's about 11 steps. They're the second, you know, second apartment to the right. You know, you knock on the door like this and whatever. And immediately after, Rav Chaim Oizer gave these directions, he turned to Rabbi Brook and said, "Please accompany him there." So Rabbi Brook did as he said, and he got there. And then he came back to Rav Chaim Oizer. He said, "Why?" He said, "What's the deal?" He said, "Look, this man was clearly very confused. And I could tell he was confused because he was asking directions, but the way that he was asking, it sounded like he didn't get it. So instead of him having to come back, I asked you to just be malava him and make sure that he didn't become embarrassed so he doesn't either get lost or, you know, feel that sort of shame to come back." So I thought that that was a really great story. A second story of Rav Chaim Oizer trying to avoid people getting embarrassed was there was a story with Rav Chaim Oizer there, and somebody was going over a black Gemara and was telling over a Shtikl Torah, and they said, "This is in Yevamos on this daf." And Rav Chaim Oizer said back, "No, actually, it's the next daf." And he said, nope, it's this daf. And Rav Chaim Oizer said, "I think it's the next daf." So a person who was a stander-by went to get the Gemara and open it up on the table. And Rav Chaim Oizer put his hand on the Gemara. He said, "Do not open it." And, you know, at the end of it, whatever, it kind of went through. You know, the Bachar left. And the other person who brought the Gemara said, "Hey, why'd you do that?" He said, "I know I'm right. You know I'm right. He knows I'm right too. There's no reason to embarrass him. You know, we don't need to open up the Gemara and prove it. He can look and go find it." Next story is the party at the Kanievskis. I thought this was really interesting. It was told by one of his sons talking about what it was like in the Kanievskis' house on Shabbos. So there was a lot of simcha. He said, Rav Chaim generally sat and learned at all time, but when it came to Shabbos Sudas, he would take the kids on his lap. Sometimes he would put them on his shoulders. He would schmooze with them in the house. And then afterward, they would go for a walk. And there's a thing, his son also said that his father was the most captivating storyteller. He could stop right in the middle of the story and like hold you. And then the next time we had a chance, said, please go on. Or if he had to, you know, stop or whatever, he would go ahead and pick up right where he was in the story. And it was an extraordinarily captivating storyteller. So it's just a chizik for all of us super tatis who are trying to make sure that when we're telling stories, when we're trying to, you know, bring everybody in, that we do our hishtadlus as well. Two more stories. I know it's usually three. There's a story about Rav Shach during his time in Slutsk during World War I, where basically nobody knew where their parents was. The yeshiva basically was disbanded. Everybody went everybody was alone. And lo and behold, everybody was alone without food, without clothing, without really anything. And all they were stuck with was whatever they had. So Rav Shach basically had a year where he didn't really sleep so much. He didn't really eat so much. He had no money and he just kind of sat there. He didn't even have light for a candle. But what did he have? He had a Gemara Bava Basra. So during this time, he basically sat there and he learned Bava Basra. And his Seder apparently was, Sunday through Thursday, he would learn however many times. And then he'd chazer it all on Friday, v'chule. And he said that this was the happiest time of his life. So, this week we talk about Shetiyu Amelim Batera, and obviously his feeling about that was extraordinarily happy and joyous. I forgot to mention this. There's a story of Ramosha when he was very young in his life. when he was paskening shailas left and right from the Dalit Chilkei Shulchan Aruch, there was somebody who kind of didn't know who he was, and they were a little bit taken aback, and they were actually so kind of agitated by what was happening that they let out a scream. And Rav Moshe stopped for a second, looked at them in the eye, and says, "When you learn Shulchan Aruch 375 times with all the Mefarshim, you can do this." And then he continued going back and answering the shailas. So it's just an interesting thing to give us a little bit of chizuk on our chazara when we review something. Reviewing is at least as important as our initial limud. So I thought that would be a very valuable thing. Last story about Shetiyu HaMeimun B'Torah, since I saw this one, I couldn't let it go. When the Gro gave shir, apparently he would give a bechina before people would come to shir, and the bechina was as follows. He'd say, "What daf gemara do you know the best? What's the best you know?" And somebody would say, you know, whatever it is. He said, "Okay, lay in the gemara for me." You go through the gemara, and he said, if this person leaned it like they loved the Gemara, like this is my brother, this is my friend, this is, you know, this is exactly where I want to be, they could sit in this chair. And if they didn't, you know, if they leaned it like they were, you know, whatever it was, if they're learning like, you know, I'm learning, I've already learned this, you know, then they definitely couldn't. I remember a story I had with Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen of YU, when I was in my 20s and I was young and I was trying to understand Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, and I asked him, I said, "I don't get it. I've gone through all this. I think I understand what he's saying, but this is not affecting me at all. Like, what's the, you know, what's the deal?" And he said, "Ah, you're probably learning the Sefer." He says, "You're not supposed to learn the Sefer. You're supposed to sing the Sefer." So it kind of stims a little bit with the gross story, is that like the way that it sounds. They said, I saw that about Rav Meir Simcha also, is that when he would learn Gemara, it would sound like he's learning Bechavrusa, but it was just him in the room. So an interesting thought about the way that we engage in that regards. Next, the Ramban in nature. This is the time where we get all the brachos and all the klalos in b'chukotzai teilechu, and one of the brachos is v'hishbati chaya ro'a min ha'aretz. I'm going to get rid of the bad wild animals from the land. And Ramban says, he brings down a machlokas tanoim, and he comes out that when it says chaya ro'a min ha'aretz, it doesn't mean that he's going to make it that there are no more lions, but what it means is that the lions are no longer going to be vicious. And he says that before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, lions were just big kittens. And that's the idea that you see, you know, the lion and the lamb and the whole thing in Yeshayahu, is that all of these animals, their teva had to be changed, their nature had to be changed after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, which basically mixed everything up, for lack of a better term. And Be'ezras Hashem, that teva will return, meaning the actual nature, will actually return at some point in time. But really, it's all nisim, like the Ramban says at the end of Parshas Bo. And he brings this, you know, the famous story about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and the Arud. The Arud was this animal that was biting everybody and hurting everybody. And Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was a formidable opponent and went to take on the Arud. And wherever it was hiding in some hole, he stuck his foot in, you know, in the hole, and the Arud bit him. And the Arud died. And the punchline of that story is, woe to the person who runs into an Arud, and woe to the Arud that runs into Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Meaning Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is the guy who has all these nisim happen. He's above nature, so he didn't need it. So the Ramban says, look, I mean, this nature thing, it's a farce. So we don't have to worry about it. I think that it's a very palpable thought to say to your children, would you ever stick your hand in a lion's mouth? And said, you may have that opportunity someday. So it's just a thought, and also perhaps it could be a little bit of a thought about how Kadosh Baruch Hu can really change everything right before our eyes with respect to what we perceive and what we experience. One of the brachas that we get next to our Torah is V'lechoscha komimiyus. I'm going to make you walk komimius, which is, Rashi says, is a komazukufa. It means that you're going to be standing straight up, with a proper posture. So the only problem is that the Gemara in Kiddushin says that that's usur. It's usur to walk in a komazukufa because it's dochek the raglei hashchina. It's like you're pushing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The land is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's footstool, as it were, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to be riding on this land. And when we walk with a nature that seems like it's gaiva, then apparently that's sending the wrong message to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we would never wish to do such a thing. So there are a couple different ways to be miyashiv. I was supposed to send you some answers, and I didn't. So bli neder, I can do this afterward. There's a Sfasemes and others, but I think one way to be mechalik is, well, what's the reason why we're walking komimius? If a Kodesh Baruch Hu makes us walk komimius, then it's not gaiva or anything else. It's us doing Ratzon Hashem. If in any instance where we're asserting our Ratzon above a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, then obviously that would be running contrary to our mission in the world. There's a really beautiful, number three is, there's a really beautiful medrash. We're just going to say it like this. It says in the description, when we take on, there's so much to say here. Description, when we take on a new bris after the tochacha, it says, Vezacharti es brisi Yaakov, es brisi Yitzchak, Avram, and it's in reverse chronological order of where they show up in the Chumash. So Rashi says that the order is inverted because Yaakov was the most recent of the three. And if his memory was insufficient for Hashem, then they'll mention the other Avos. But the other Avos are mentioned in proper chronological order in other places. So why would we change the order here? So the first approach is that Yaakov had the greatest zechuyos, so he should be mentioned first. Why? According to the Alshech, he had the greatest because he was the Churim HaShulash. None of his kids went off the Derech. Malbim says that the zechuyos were cumulative, so he's riding on the shoulders of giants, so he should be last. Kli Yucker said that it was first in, first out accounting. Since Avram's zechuyos came first, they were used first. Then the last set of zechuyos is Yaakov's, so those were used last. So that's the way that it should go. Maharal says they're the greatest because his face is on the Kisei HaKavod. And Rav Moshe Schoenbach says each of them represent three of the Amudim, Chesed, Avoda, and Torah. And since Yaakov represented Torah, his is greater. So that's the first approach. The first approach is he has the more zechuyos. The second one is he is a stage in the transition to Geula, and therefore he's mentioned first. So Nachlas Yaakov says a Chazal that Yaakov represents the third Beis HaMikdash, for example. Rav Shamshon Rufal Hirsch says that each of the Avos is a different type of destiny of the Jewish people and how the world should relate to them. Unlike the prior history, the Geula will evolve in a reverse order, beginning in the stage of Yaakov first, then to Yitzchak, and then to Avram. Okay, there's so much more to say, but since it is 1:14, I'm going to leave the thought question and let you figure it out. So it says, Vis halachti betochachem is one of the brachas, and it says, Atayel itcha began Eden. Rashi quotes a chazal. It says, basically, I'm going to travel along with you in Gan Eden. And it sounds there like there's a reference to Olam Haba, but there is no explicit reference to Olam Haba in the Torah. So what I would ask, I know this is a dicey question, and you don't ever want to ask a question that you don't want to answer. So I provided you with 14 answers. The first seven are from the Chavos Levavos Shar Bitachon, and the next about seven are from the Abarbanels. There's some overlap and some not, but I would say that, if you're part of the Super Tati Chabura, that means you've got Gunner children, and your Gunner children will probably be ready, willing, and able to try to provide some answers. Shkoyach.